This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whit Sunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire AIC archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can always be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site. The epistle reading for the 11th Sunday after Trinity is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11. It is St. Paul's short, succinct summary of the traditional doctrines of the Christian faith, also known as the received doctrine of the apostles, which provided part of the scriptural underpinning of the Nicene Creed. But it is also St. Paul's confession, not only of his own part as a persecutor of the church in verse 9, but his confession that though he labored and suffered for it, that whatever success he had was not of his own making, but by the sovereign grace of God in verse 10. The final verse is an admonition to the faithful, in his time and in ours, of their obligation to pass the same message of the gospel unchanged to others who come after them. The gospel reading is Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, or publican in the King James. As we enter the account, the time is a few weeks before Palm Sunday. From what St. Luke wrote of the direction of the traveling party in chapter 17, verse 11, the logical assumption is that they must have been somewhere in the southern end of the region of Samaria. The prayer book reading begins with verse 9, but in this podcast homily, I have added, for context, the parable of the tenacious widow from the first 8 verses of chapter 18. Both parables are unique to St. Luke's gospel, and one relates to the other. St. Luke begins this account with this in verse 1, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." The subject of the parable is a woman's difficulties with a judge in her city who clearly was not a man of God, nor, from the judge's tone, did he care much for mankind, whether men or women. In the face of the woman's persistence, which is the message, he granted her request for justice, saying, "Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him?" As is often the case, Jesus answered his own question, saying in verse 7, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." In verse 8, he provides a lead-in to the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector by offering another question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The question really means, what kind of Christian is God willing to avenge? We find the answer in the next parable, which is the story of two men who go into the temple to pray. In verse 9, Jesus describes the Pharisees as men, quote, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. True to that description, Luke tells us in verse 11 that the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. In the rest of the parable, Jesus offers more teaching concerning the difference between true righteousness and self-righteousness. The Pharisee demonstrates clearly to which group he belongs. As you listen, count the number of times he uses the personal pronoun I in his prayer in verse 12, which, as noted, he offers from a visible, prominent place at the front of the worshipers in the temple. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. If you lost count, he said I five times in two short verses. The Bible scholars who produced the New King James Version Study Bible observed that the Pharisee seems to believe that God is lucky to have a man like him as a believer. The contrast between this and the manner, tone, and content of the tax collector's prayer in verse 13 is quite remarkable. Jesus says the man stood, quote, afar off, and, quote, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This calls to mind the parable of the chief seats from Luke 14, verses 7 to 11, in which one man claimed for himself the best seats instead of waiting until others had been seated and receiving an offer of one of the chief seats. So what kind of person is God willing to avenge? Jesus gives the answer in verse 14. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The lesson in the reading is, don't count yourself more righteous than others because, perhaps, you wear your best clothes to church, or because you crossed yourself a fixed number of times, more than the others around you, or that you bowed more deeply than others, especially that person sitting next to you. The prophet Zechariah offered good advice on the same topic in Zechariah 7, 8b to 10. Execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, everyone, to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his breast against his brother. For a more detailed discussion of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, with illustrations by the late 19th century artist James T. So, watch episode 18 in the AIC Bible Study video series New Testament, Gospels and Epistles at our YouTube site, www.youtube.com/C/St. John C. These videos are also linked from the Bible study page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net/bible-study.html. The first of today's two closing prayers is an adaptation of Psalm 51, King David's in which King David confessed his sins against God and his fellow man and found his way out of spiritual darkness. The second is the collect for the 11th Sunday after Trinity, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the Gelasian Sacramentary, which was modified in the 1662 Book of Common Prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, after thy great goodness. According to the multitude of thy mercies, do away with mine offenses. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my faults, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and clear when thou shalt judge. Thou shalt purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Thou shalt wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Thou shalt make me hear of joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Turn thy face from my sins, and put out all my misdeeds. Make me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. O God, who declarest thy almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity, mercifully grant unto us such a measure of thy grace, that we, running the way of thy commandments, may obtain thy gracious promises and be made partakers of thy heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. Thank you for listening. I invite you to visit the other pages on the AIC website and use its resources for your enlightenment and discernment. www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.